this 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. So Luke 10, verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he," that's the Saviour, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" And we're assured the Lord will bless her hearts this short reading of his word this evening. The 39th verse we want to ponder for a little while before we come to prayer. Pray it'll even be our experience tonight. It says that she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on something that is very important in the Christian life. Sometimes we talk about things among ourselves that don't really matter. But I want you to be absolutely no doubt this evening that what we're going to speak about in this gathering is something that is vital to the Christian life and something that is vital to your walk with God. And that is the matter of what we often describe as our quiet time. Some folk might ask, what is a quiet time? Like a definition or a description of that term. It is sometimes called our personal devotions, and it's that time of personal worship with the Lord. You may worship God publicly in the house of the Lord. You may come to church, and you may worship even at home with your family. And all of those things are good. All of those things are right and important. But it is vital, brethren and sisters, to have a time of personal worship. And that's really what your quiet time or your personal devotions is all about. Go right back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden. And the scriptures tell us of Adam that the Lord God, or the voice, it's not an interesting expression, that it was the voice. God came especially to the garden to speak to Adam. The voice of the Lord God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. So that's a personal time. A time when Adam was with the Lord. He was alone with the Lord. It was a time when he spoke to the Lord and the Lord spoke to him. A time of rich communion. Some of you remember the famous pastor Willie Mullen, who in the latter years of his life was the minister of the Baptist Church in Lurgan. When he was asked on many occasions which Bible college he went to, he would say St. Mary's Bible College. Some people often look back at him just with a blank expression. They'd never heard of St. Mary's Bible College. He took it from this portion, this text, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And the reality is, that's a college that every Christian should enroll at, every Christian should attend. You think of friends, relationships that you have in life. How do you get to know those people better? How do you get to know your friends and your family better? It's by taking time and spending time with those folk. And how do you get to know the Lord better? How do we get to know God as we ought? Do you remember the great cry of Paul's heart when he was writing to the Philippians? He cried out that I might know him. and the power of his resurrection. So how do you get to know God better? Well, it's in exactly the same way, by spending time with the Lord. And just to emphasize, brethren and sisters, that's what your quiet time, in essence, is really all about. It's about spending time with him. Being alone with God, that is vital. It's very important to your progress and to your growth in the Christian life. And it's important for us, as a new year begins, just to emphasize that matter to you tonight, and to spend a little time just considering this important aspect of our lives, our quiet time, the time we spend with God. Just a few questions that we'll pose for you to consider and seek to give an answer from the scriptures to each of those questions. Think of the question, what do you do in a quiet time? What is involved in it? What do you do when you set that time aside, when you have your quiet time? Well, remember, there are two things in particular. One is to read your Bible, and the other is to pray. And I want to underline, those are, beyond all doubt, the two most important things in the Christian life. I have mentioned to, I know, the young people before, the story in connection with Billy Sunday. After he was converted, an old mature believer called him aside one day and said, Billy, there are 3:15s that you need to pay attention to every day. He added a third thing to the two I've mentioned. 15 minutes with the word, at least. 15 minutes in prayer. And the other one that he added to it was 15 minutes being a witness, taking time to speak to someone else for the Saviour. But as far as your quiet time is concerned, that's what's involved in it. When you read the word, you allow God to speak to you, and when you pray, that's when you speak to the Lord. So it's in essence just like having a conversation with the Lord. He speaks to you, and then in prayer you speak back to him again. And I want to encourage you, brethren and sisters, to develop, to concentrate, to spend as much time as you can on those two aspects of the Christian life. I want to encourage you tonight to read your Bible. Do you remember what the Bible says in the first Psalm? It starts off with the word blessed or happy. Think of the whole 150 Psalms. The very first word, blessed. What is the blessed man or the happy man like? He's a man that meditates day and night upon God's word. A man that takes time to get into the word, to consider deeply the things of God. What is the happy or the blessed man like? He's a man that delights himself in the law of the Lord. So if you want to be happy, really happy, not the sort of shallow happiness the world talks about, if you want to be truly happy, well, here's the path. You need to take time every day meditating upon the word of God. If you think of the question, how well worn is your Bible? It indicates a person that has the Bible often in their hands. Now, I know at this time of the year you may be carrying a Bible you got as a nice Christmas present there just a few weeks ago, and that puts it all in an entirely different light. But the Bible should be often in our hands. Vance Havner, the American evangelist, who had a nice way of putting things together, would say, if you see a Bible that's falling apart, it generally belongs to somebody that isn't. The importance, the benefit, the great benefit, brethren and sisters, as far as our inner peace and our happiness and our contentment in this world is concerned, it is all very strongly linked to the time that we spend just pondering and resting upon the promises of God's word. So I want to encourage you tonight to read the Bible. And I want to encourage you to read the whole Bible. It's a very surprising thing how many Christians have never read through the whole Bible. Or if they have, they haven't done it very often. Maybe it's been a long time since last they did. God gave you 66 books, and he didn't intend you just to read 3 or 4 of the books. The whole message, the whole revelation of God, He intends us to read all of it. Every book, every chapter, every verse, and every line. So I want to encourage you tonight to read the whole of the Word of God. Not just the easy bits. There are certainly parts of the Bible that are much harder than others. Remember what Peter said about Paul. He talked about parts that are hard to understand when he was referring to Paul's epistles. And there certainly are parts of the Bible that are hard to understand. They're more difficult to read than others. But never forget, brethren and sister, when Paul was writing to the young minister, to young Timothy, he said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every word in this Bible is God-breathed. God gave it to us for a reason. And every word in this book is profitable. God is it there for a reason. There's not just parts of the Bible there as an endurance test to see whether you're going to get to the end or not. God has every word, even the difficult parts. It's profitable. There's something there for us to learn and something there for us to benefit. So just don't read the easy parts. Don't just read your favourite parts. It's not sort of the routine or the rut, maybe, that many Christians fall into. Just every year read through the Psalms. Never get any further than the Psalms. So just every year maybe read the Psalms and the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. But as far as those books like Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, oh dear, that's like jumping off a ship into the depths of the ocean. We're not just to read our favourite parts. It's wrong to look at the Bible in that way and to think of the Word of God in that way. God wants us to read all of His Word. So if you've never done it, I want to encourage you to do it this incoming year. Read through the whole of the Bible. You imagine what it will be like to stand before the Lord and He'll say, I gave you that Bible. Did you ever read it through from beginning to end? And you see, as you think of reading the whole Bible, read it systematically as well. It's quite an amazing thing, the attitude that people have to reading the Word of God. They would never think of reading any other book in the same manner. Would you think of a book that you were bought for Christmas and you'd just open it up in the middle and you'd read a few pages there today, and then tomorrow you'd get the same book down, you'd read two or three pages towards the end, and maybe the next day you'd read a wee bit, sort of a third from the beginning? And yet that's the way many people read the Bible. You know, just open the Bible today and wherever it falls open, oh, that looks like a good place to read a few verses today. Read the Bible systematically. Read it in a careful manner. Follow a plan, and that will help you to read through the whole of the Word of God. And there's many of those sort of plans that are available. McShane's plan to read through the Bible, you can do it in 1 year, or you can do it in 2 years. Mr. Paisley for many years followed the 1 year Bible plan, and you can actually get a copy of the Bible that's divided up for every day of the year to help you in that reading plan. But whatever you do, read systematically through the whole of the Word of God. The question often arises, how much should I read every day? Well, remember that the key thing is it's the quality of the reading, not the quantity of the reading. You could, and there's some people have the capacity to read large amounts in one day and to benefit from it. But the main thing is to profit from the Word. You want God to speak to you. You want the Word to touch your heart. You want the Word to be open to you. And that's not going to happen if you just race through five or six chapters just to be able to say, well, I read six chapters. It's the quality of the reading, not the quantity, that is important. So I encourage you to read the Bible. John Wesley said he was a man of one book. The idea of that was he had devoted himself to the reading, to the knowledge, to the learning, to the studying of this book. And that's the sort of people we ought to be, brethren and sisters. It says of Apollos that laboured with Paul, he was mighty in the Scriptures. And that's the aim, the ambition, the desire that every one of us ought to have as the children of God. The other thing, of course, we encourage you to pray. Do you remember when Saul of Tarsus, man that was a hater of the church, persecutor of God's people, remember when he got converted and the Lord spoke to Ananias and he wanted Ananias to go to Paul and lay hands upon him and restore his sight? And you can put yourself in Ananias' shoes. He was terrified of the thought, and he told the Lord the sort of man that Saul of Tarsus was. And the Lord said, "Behold, he prayeth." Remember, the beholds in the Bible are like stop saying. Here's something to stop and to consider and to arrest your attention. This man is now a changed man. He's a new creature. He's praying. And that's a mark, brethren and sister. It's a birthmark of a child of God. A Christian that doesn't pray is a contradiction in terms. Behold, he prayeth. Do you remember the Savior said to his disciples, when you pray? It's not if you pray. It's not optional. It's not something you can just decide to do whether you want to or not. When ye pray. And there's not a doubt about it, brethren and sisters. It is one of the most honoured things in the Christian life to seek the face of God. You think of it, we approach the eternal throne, enter right into the very presence of God himself. It's one of the most honoured things, one of the most honoured forms of service. Never lose sight of the fact that you can serve God in prayer. But as well as being honoured, it's one of the hardest things in the Christian life. It's a real battleground. Do you remember what the Savior said when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's that constant battle that is going on in our own heart, raging constantly. We want to pray. We desire to pray. We long to pray in a greater, more effective manner. But one of the great struggles and difficulties we have is ourselves. Remember when Paul said that there's a great door and effectual is open unto us and there are many adversaries? One of the greatest adversaries we have in the Christian life is ourselves, our own heart, the sinfulness of our own heart. So we need to pray that God will give us help. It's only by his power, it's only by the enabling of the Spirit of God that we'll be able to pray as we ought. So I encourage you to pray. You say, what should we pray about in our quiet time? Well, let me mention some things quickly. Pray for help. And that's something we all need every day. The battles, the struggles, the challenges of life. We need the help of God. Pray for his blessing. That there's few things that we require more than God's blessing as we live in this world. In fact, you could ask for nothing greater than to know the blessing of God in your life, the blessing of God in your marriage, the blessing of God upon your family, the blessing of God upon your home, the blessing of God upon your service. We can ask for nothing greater. The blessing of God upon this work. What do we need in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church as we face the year 2018? What do we need more than anything else? We need the blessing of God to rest upon this work, and his blessing to rest upon this testimony. So pray and ask God for that blessing. Ask God for guidance. We need guidance every day. All the problems, all the questions, all the decisions that have to be made. We're like that man in the Old Testament scriptures. Neither know I what to do, but mine eyes are upon thee. We need the Lord to guide us. So pray for guidance. He has promised it in many places in his word. Pray for wisdom. How many times we lack the wisdom that we need. I'm always struck as I read the story of Joseph. When I come to that part where he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh the sort of man that he needed to put in charge of the affairs of the nation, particularly as they faced the years of plenty and then the years of famine. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "There's none so discreet and wise as thee." And those two great characteristics, brethren and sisters, discretion. Some people you meet, even some Christian people, they're so indiscreet. Discretion and wisdom. And God can give you both of them. They're mentioned in the book of Proverbs, how essential they are. So pray for wisdom. Pray for protection. We need that as we journey in these days in which we live. We need God's protection from the attacks of the devil. Remember how easily we could fall. How very easily, him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. And something else you should pray for in your quiet time, and that's for light. You know those difficult passages in the Bible? As you read the word, as you consider it, as you seek to study it, ask the Lord to give you light from heaven. That which I see not, teach thou me. So those are the things that are involved. That's what you do in a quiet time. Just quickly, where should you have your quiet time? It would seem obvious, and yet for many people it's not. You think of the idea of a quiet time. So you need somewhere where there's no noise, no distractions, no other people. The whole idea of the quiet time is to get alone, and to get alone with God himself. Not in the living room with all the family around you and the television on and maybe the radio or a hi-fi playing music in the background as well. Some people, you know, might say, well, why not in that sort of environment? You'd have to wonder why such a question would be asked. Do you remember whenever Noah went into the ark, and his wife, his three sons, their wives, and God came and God shut the door? There's so many lessons that we can learn from that, but the one I'll stress to you tonight is that Noah and his family were shut in with God. And that's really what you should look for. That's what you should look for in your quiet time. That you're shut in, and you're shut in with God himself. That's what's needed, brethren and sisters. There is a time for drawing aside from the family. Our family need our presence. They need our help. They need our guidance. They need our support. But never forget there's a time when we should come aside from our family. And that's when we have that time with the Lord himself. The Saviour said, when thou prayest, you're to enter into thy closet and you're to shut the door. And that's very important, very significant. The shutting of the door. And it's not as if you're to sort of leave the door ajar and take a wee look out every so often and see what's happening out there. You're to shut the door. It's the clear instruction of the Word of God. You're to shut out the world. And that time when you are going to seek the face of God, when you're going to be with the Lord, here's an important aspect of it. If it's to be blessed and profitable and owned of God, shutting of the door, shutting out the world, shutting out the cares of this life, shutting out all the business life, all the affairs and all the burdens of business, and even shutting out the family too. We're to shut the door and then pray to our Father which is in secret. And our Father which seeth, there's to be business done there with God. When we're in his presence and the door's shut and the world's closed out, we're to do business with God that not another person in this world sees. Not another person in this world knows anything about. Only the Lord himself. Your Father which seeth in secret. Only he say. We're not to do it as a show to the family. You know what the Christian I am. You know what the time I spend with God. The only one that's to see or know anything about it is the Lord himself. And your Father which seeth in secret, he will reward you. And he'll reward you openly. His hand of blessing will be upon your life. And there's so many examples of that. You think of Isaac. It's a very striking passage. The servant had gone away into Syria, Paddan Aram. Got a wife for Isaac, brought back Rebekah. And as they were coming back to Hebron, to where they were dwelling, and the camel train's just approaching, the scriptures tell us that Isaac went out into the field. And this was his regular habit. This is how he closed out every day after the work was done. He went out into the field. And the Bible says he went out for this. He wasn't going out to look at the cattle, as many farmers often. And I'm sure he'd done that. He'd spent a lot of time maybe doing that day. That was maybe what the burden of that day had been all about. He'd been out there among the stock. But this particular verse says he went out into the field to meditate. And if you read that verse and read the marginal reference to it, it says he went out into the field to pray. That's the alternative rendering there for the word meditate. So think of where he's going out into the field. He's getting away from everybody else. He's drawing himself aside from all the commotion and all the activity and all the things there that would distract him. He's getting out into that quiet place, out into the field. And he's going out there to pray, to be alone with God, and to seek the face of the Lord. So that's where you should have your quiet time, brethren and sisters. You need a good place. You need a quiet place. If the study is going to be blessed, if the time is going to be profitable for you, doesn't the world even recognize that fact? What is one of the main things that's emphasized every time you go into the library? Shh. You have to be quiet. Silence. It's written up on the walls in those sort of establishments. Because even the world, even the ungodly, recognize the fact that study to be profitable needs to be done in quietness. You can't focus. You can't take in what is there before you if there's all these noises and everybody else is talking and laughing and carrying on all around you. So if the world recognizes it, wouldn't we be foolish not to recognize it too, brethren and sisters? That great statement in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Do you know the reason why we don't know the Lord is with us? Why we don't feel his presence in our meetings, in our quiet time, the way we should? We don't be still. There's not the quietness. There's not that settling of ourselves down and that coming aside, shutting ourselves in just to be alone with him. One other thing, quickly. How often should you have the quiet time? And how important this is. I'll stress to you, at least once a day. At least once. Remember Daniel? It says that Daniel was a man of prayer daily. He prayed 3 times. What an example that man sets us. And never lose sight of the fact of the position that he held. Remember, his office in Babylon was the equivalent to the prime minister of the country. He was there under the king. He was the chief or the head of all the presidents. He was the head man under the monarch. So that would involve so many meetings, so many papers to be read, so many meetings and so on, and all the functions of that office. And still he prayed 3 times every day. So that's the very least, brethren and sisters. It's good to begin and end the day with God. Do you remember the Bible talks about the morning? And then there's the evening sacrifice. And that's a good example for us to follow as well. In the morning, they offered their sacrifices. They came to God and worshipped him. And they did the same in the evening. But at least once every day, you need to make this matter a part of your daily routine. The Bible says, the psalmist David, "I cried unto the Lord daily." And how good that is. Never a day went past. Never a day of his life was allowed to slip into eternity without taking time just to be there in the presence of God. There's a little chorus we often sing the children. And remember that those little choruses, there's truths in them that we should never forget, regardless of how long we live, how old we become. Read your Bible. Pray. What does it say? Every day. If you want to grow. You think of it like this. Make the comparison yourself. How much time do you spend in other pursuits? In other hobbies? Time at the television? And so on. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong. The important thing is, they need to be kept in their place. Don't push out the things that matter. But how long do you spend at those sort of things? And then think of, how long do you spend with God? Is it the fact that you spend so much time at those things that you don't have the time for God that you ought to have. The Saviour in Gethsemane, we mentioned a little earlier, said to the three disciples, Peter, James and John, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Doesn't that sound, the way he asked that question, it's nearly as if, here's the very least, here's the shortest period of time that really you should be able to spend with me. Could you not watch even 1 hour? That's really the feeling or the drift or the meaning behind those words. An hour with God every day that you live. If you think of it, why do you eat every day? And the reality is you eat every day more than once because your body needs that food every day. Your body won't function properly. You can't expect to be healthy, can't expect to be well. You can't expect your body to be in a condition where it is useful if you don't eat every day. And it's just the same as far as your soul is concerned. You can't be a healthy Christian. You can't be a well-nourished Christian. You can't be strong in the Christian life if you don't feed every day upon the Word and spend time waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So some people say, too busy, too many other things to do, too many people to see, so too much schoolwork, too much study to do. But remember, brethren and sisters, the devil wants you to be too busy. Too busy for the Christian life and the things of God. And it's very important, I stress it to you, if you're too busy for your quiet time, then the reality is you are too busy. That's a serious thing. Need to look at your life and need to look at your routine. Needs to be sorted out, rearranged. Some things left out, pushed out of your routine. Is it not, brethren and sisters, is it not a serious thing, an exceedingly serious thing, to be too busy for God, too busy to be with Him? The Saviour said, there's other things I had on my notes, I'll not deal with those tonight, but I'll finish just by saying this. The Saviour in the New Testament says of Him in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and He departed into a solitary place and there prayed. There's the greatest example of all. Remember when He washed the disciples' feet, He said, I have given you an example, ye should do as I have done to you. And the example that Christ set is not just the example of what He did that day when He knelt down and they took the towel and they took the water and they washed the dust from their feet. His whole life is an example. Not for the unconverted. There are those that make the mistake, if I try, and you can never do it, but if I try to follow the example of Christ, He maybe will led me into heaven. The example that Christ set in His life is for the Christian. I have given you, He said to the disciples, an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And there's the greatest example. There's the best example of all. In the morning, first thing He did, He gave that time to God. The best hours, when He was fresh, when He was alert. The first person He spoke to every morning was the Lord. Rising up a great while before day. See the discipline, the sacrifice there? And he went out and departed into a solitary place. We were talking about that a little earlier, the quiet place for the quiet time. And when He got there He prayed. You know, it's said of Hudson Taylor that for 40 years when he laboured as a missionary in China, that the sun didn't rise on that land, not one morning in all those 40 years, that it didn't find Hudson Taylor on his knees before God at the throne of grace. And there is, brethren and sisters, no better way. No better way to start the day. Some of you remember Mr. Paisley, for many years, turned out little tapes we're giving away how old we are now when we talk about the tapes, but it used to be a tape that he produced every month. Where he got the time to produce those tapes, let alone Christians take the time to listen to them, but begin and end the day with God. That's what you call those little tapes. Little message for morning and evening. Begin and end the day with God, brethren and sisters. The importance, the vital importance of our personal worship, our quiet time with God. Mary also said, they also gives the idea of the work she did. She was involved in the service too. Some people give the impression from that portion she did nothing. They also teaches us she also worked, but she also sat at his feet, came aside, made the time to sit before the Lord and commune with him and listen to his word. And I encourage you tonight to do the same. Just a couple of verses of 413, please. Take time to behold.